That is, God is able. He's able to supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. He's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be majesty, dominion, and power. He's able to heal broken hearts. He's able to make dreams come true. He's able to make a setback into a comeback. We ought to be mighty confident that our God is able. Amen. You have your personal copy. World's bestseller. I want to thank Brother Sam Wyatt for a beautiful job done this morning leading our hymns. And we're going to continue to pray for Brother Rutledge that he'll get the feeling better real soon. Amen. We want to thank Brother Ron Taylor for the excellent invocation that he orchestrated this morning. Certainly are thankful to him. We thank Brother Jeremy Gray. This brother is just growing by leaps and bounds. We thank him for the excellent reading of the Word of God. And oh my goodness, we want to thank Brother Sperling for those just amazing prayers. He continues to pray in our behalf. Like he goes to another level every time he talks to the Lord. And that's what it's all about. 2 Timothy is the place. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to begin at the 15th verse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning verse 15 through the end of that chapter. If you have it, say amen. But well, as we do to read this text after me. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I want to thank the people of God for reading the word of God in the house of God. I want to share a message this morning that I believe is going to really bless you. And I want you to announce this subject with me. And that subject is texting while living. Texting while living. I say it once again. Texting while living. Amen. Solomon, the great king of Israel, prayed a prayer to God for understanding. The record is God gave him exceeding great largeness of heart. It was as abundant as the sand upon the seashore. His wisdom excelled all of the children of the east. His wisdom excelled all of the wisdom of Egypt. He wrote 3,000 proverbs, and he composed 1,005 songs. It was this great king who said, "Of all thy getting, get understanding." These words come to us through Solomon from the very mind of God. Of all thy getting, get understanding. There is one who is greater than King Solomon. And that is Jesus Christ, because never spake man like this man, never taught man like this man. He used in his teaching, as he tries to give us understanding and clarity, he used a great deal in his teaching the parabolic method. What he would do, he would take something that people were familiar with to explain something that they were not familiar with, which would give them understanding about the things of the kingdom of God. And one thing he was trying to convince us was that the things of the kingdom of God are priceless. The things of the kingdom of God are what are called unsearchable riches. So trying this morning to follow in the footsteps of my master and my Lord Jesus, I want to use something that we are familiar with to explain something in the spiritual dimension. I want to talk about texting. Texting while living. We know that texting while driving is a bad idea. But texting while living is a great idea. Because when you think about it, the word text simply means something that's written down, amen, or written material, something that's written down, that's printed or typed or written. So in a sense, people have been texting for a long time. But now, because of modern innovations and technology, we can text, and even folks like me, praise God, we can text electronically. Amen. And I want to show how this can relate to spiritual living. So I want to talk about two things with you this morning briefly. Number one, I want to talk about texting while driving is a bad idea. And number two, I want to talk about texting while living is a great idea. Amen. Texting, now, as we look at the world, there are a lot of ideas in the world. Some ideas are good, some ideas are not so good. In fact, some ideas are even bad. And so we need to be able to separate good ideas or good thoughts or good concepts from things that are not so good. Amen. That's why the Bible tells us, beloved, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. What the Bible tells us in Proverbs 14:15, it says that the simple believe every word, but the prudent looks well into it. So texting, and sometimes, brothers and sisters, things that are not good ideas can really catch on. Things that are not good or even bad can catch on. They can influence people. But when we look at the statistics, we find out that while texting while driving is not a good idea. In 2011, 23% of all accidents were a result of somebody using a cell phone. Either talking on that phone or texting while driving. 23%, almost one-fourth of all accidents that happened in 2011 were a result of somebody trying to drive while texting. And also we learned that the minimal time that the eyes are away from the road when one is texting is about 5 seconds. That's the minimal amount of time. And someone put it this way, that if one is driving at 55 miles per hour, that means that he drives the length of a football field without looking at the road. And also we find that this is a great temptation for teens between the age of 16 and 20. This is a great temptation, and most of them admit it. that were involved in car crashes that either they were texting or talking on the phone when the crash took place. It became such a great problem that lawmakers and legislators began to outlaw this process. And also it became so great, it became such a great problem, it was endangering our beautiful young people. It became such a problem that they asked the young people to take a pledge that I will not text while trying to drive. Well, what is texting? Texting is the communication or the composing of an electronic message between two or more mobile phones or devices that's sent. Amen. And it's a wonderful thing. You know, I just get excited when I get a text message. Amen. My phone, it gives a noise. And I look and it shows on the icon, Brother Wide, one. I'm like a kid on Christmas Day. I can't wait to open it to see what it has to say. But texting while driving is a bad idea. It's a dangerous idea because distracted drivers are dangerous drivers. Amen. And you even have to be careful as you drive. As you sometimes eat, or sometimes you want to change out the CD, you're tired of listening to that CD, so you're going to put in another CD. You have to be very careful that you stay in the moment. Amen. You got to stay focused. But I want to take this concept and apply it to spiritual living. Now, I told you that a text is simply something that's written down. Remember, sometimes you hear preachers say, "Now I'm taking my text." Or you remember sometime when we studied the old gospel advocate, Brother Earl, we had what was called a golden text. You're talking about something that's written down, written material. That's a text. Something that's typed, something that's printed. So the new dimension is, Brother Ron, as technology, and one of the faith just told me this morning, I said, I'm trying to be hip, I'm trying to stay. And she told me, you better stay with it, because as soon as you learn one thing, they update it. Yeah. And you get left behind. But the difference is, people have been texting via letters. If someone writes you a letter, in a sense, that's a text. It's just not electronically transmitted. So people have been texting. Preachers been talking about, I'm going to take my text. This is my text. Or the text assigned to me, the written material that's assigned to me. What are you talking about when you talk about texting? While I'm talking about in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, about verse 11. Here's what God says. God says, I'm going to write my law. Right. That's a text. I'm going to write my law in their minds and in their hearts. Then there will come a day they won't have to see, know the Lord, for they will know me from the least to the greatest. So God was texting us. And when I talk about texting while living, I'm talking about in your mind. The mind is an awesome thing. The mind can compose text messages, and the mind can receive text messages, Brother Ron. So in your mind, you ought to have a text in your mind, because the Bible says, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. David said, he thought about while he was living, he thought about the text message. He said, Thy word, Psalms 119, verse 11, he said, thy word have I hid in my heart. That's God. God sent him a text that I might not sin against you. In 2 Timothy 3, what we just read, it said from a child, Timothy had got the text message. From a child, you've known scripture. Scripture is from the Greek word graphe, which means to write. The scriptures are writings. They are God's text message. So from a child, you've known they are the sacred writings of God. The scripture are the sacred writings of God. God had it written down. Don't we praise him for that? Because his word says his God is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endures unto all generations. Well, how did God preserve the truth? How does truth endure unto all generations? He had it written down in a book. And he had it written down in a book so I can text, put it in my mind and heart while I'm living. I need to text while I'm living. Don't text while you're driving. Because I need in my life, I need direction in my life. Can anybody say amen to that? I need guidance as I make decisions. As I go in and I go out, I need guidance where I can make the best choices for my life. He told Timothy from a child. And Lord have mercy. Isn't it strange? Sometimes the kids know how to text, but they don't know the golden text. Amen. They know what's going on social media, but don't know what's going on in the book of books. Because the Bible is the gold standard of wisdom and understanding. It contains the mind of God. It contains the state of man. It contains the way of salvation. It contained the doom of sinners. It contained the happiness of believers. Somebody said, read it to be wise. Believe it to be saved. Practice it to be holy. The Bible is the gold standard. This is the greatest book on earth for wisdom and understanding. It's a text message from God, and you ought to text while you're living. That is, this book ought to be in your heart, on the screen of your mind. You don't even, as Brother Spurgeon prayed on his prayer, you don't have to be thumping the Bible, as he put it. Because the real place for the Bible is not under your arm. The real place is in your heart. Is that all right? I'm to hide that word. He told Timothy from a child. And how many can say this morning, I thank God that from a child, I had a mom, I had a dad that were concerned about my moral and spiritual training. Yes, they were concerned about me going to school. They were concerned about me getting a good education, and that's a beautiful thing. But also, they were concerned about that I need to text while I'm living. That I needed God's written material. He said, Timothy, from a child, he had a mother named Lois and a grandmother named Eunice. I may have that backwards, but anyway, he had them. Amen. And they taught him the holy scriptures. Brothers and sisters, that's a text message. And he know, and from that, he was wise about salvation. He knew about salvation. You might know about accounting, biology, anthropology, philosophy. Amen. Molecular biology, physics. Ron, physics. But do you know about the word of God? Then he said, these writings are inspired. That means that the Holy Spirit superintended the writings of the Holy Bible. He watched over the process so that we could have a book that was authoritative and infallible. That is, it can tell us what to do and it doesn't have any errors in it. Don't let anybody tell you that the Bible was written by the white man or some other disparaging comment about the Bible. The Bible was given to us by Almighty God, by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit oversaw the writing of the Word of God to ensure that we had a message we could trust. And it's profitable. It is advantageous for teaching. It is advantageous for reproof or rebuking. It is advantageous for correction. Instruction. Or training in righteousness, that the man of God, the person of God, may be complete. Now we talk about sometime, you know, we got to keep it real. We sometimes talk about people living right. Well, first of all, you got to teach people how to live right. And that text literally means training in righteousness. So two things got to take place. Number one, people have to have a desire. You got to want to live right. And to motivate us to want to live right, God put a blessing on living right. When you live right, you get a blessing. What's the blessing? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Isn't that a blessing? How many want to be blessed this morning? You got to know where the blessings are. He says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And then after people have a desire to want to live right, then you must teach them how. Encourage them to live right. Help them to live right. Sometimes the church criticizes people about how they're living and they don't really help them. You got to help them. Well, the scripture, God's text message, was given to us that we might be taught how to live. Because once you get saved, you got to know then, how do I live? I got saved the other day. Well, now, what you going to do now? Now that you got saved, now that I'm saved, now that I'm a Christian, what are you going to do now? You got to live right. You got to live righteously in a crooked world, in an unholy world, in a dirty world, in a weak world. But I'm telling you, you got strength and power to help you. You don't have to do it by yourself. And I think another thing we've done, we've told people, you can never live the Christian life without Jesus. Brother Harris, favorite scripture, I can do what? I can do all things through whom? Christ that, what do you mean? I can live the Christian life through Christ that strengthens me. I can make it. To fall down, the blood of Jesus does what? It continues to cleanse me from all sin. Well, if I didn't get the text message, I wouldn't know that is there. So God sent me a text. Did y'all get the text? God sent me. Don't answer the text on your phone and don't answer the text given to you by God. Did you know God sent you a text? Amen. Brother Earl, I upgraded. Yeah, I had one of them flip phones. And Shirley, you helped me to get this phone. Now let me explain it to you. You're going to say, how in the world I helped Brother Moss to get that phone? I'm going to show you how. You remember when you were in the hospital and I came to see you that day? In your room, I dropped my phone on the floor. I did it. And tore it slap up. I tried my best, Brother Spreadon, to make that thing work. But it didn't work. I said, well, it's dead. Brother Harris, it was DOA, dead on arrival. So I went to Walmart. I need a phone. And first I asked him, y'all got one of them flip phones? No, we ain't got no flip phone. All we got are these smartphones. I said, well, I better get smart. And when I first got an early rung, I didn't even know how to answer it. And Tracy said, I told y'all that what Tracy said. I don't know whether daddy can handle that phone. Well, you handle it. How come I can't handle it? And now I'm saving numbers, texting. Amen. Taking pictures. Did y'all hear what I said? I done upgraded. Amen. So Shirley, thanks to you, I got this new phone. I want to thank you here. Thanks to Shirley, I got this new phone. Let me tell you a couple other things and I'll be finished. Number one, let me tell you that Christ was texting while he was living. Christ, I want to encourage you to let God's word be written in your heart and in your mind so that as you live, when the devil get behind you, because he gonna get behind you. Amen. Jeremy said, get away, Satan, when the devil gets behind you, because he is coming. If you let the devil ride, he will drive. Is that all right? The devil will have you in the trunk of your car while he's driving your car. Is that all right? And so Jesus was texting while living in the wilderness. He was baptized in the Jordan River. The river, the heavens opened up. The Holy Spirit descended like a dove. He came up out of the waters, dripping from baptism. And the Spirit of God drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The devil got behind him. And when the devil gets behind you, he told Christ, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus was texting while he was living. Boy, he said, it is written. Can you see it? When the devil got behind him, Ron, he said, it is written. That's a text message. What's written, man? Shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. Now watch this. This gets deep. When the devil tries to get you to fulfill legitimate desires in an illegitimate way, refer to your text message. Eating is a legitimate desire. And other legitimate desires. To want to be with somebody is a legitimate desire. But make sure you do it in a legitimate way. Oh, y'all got quiet on me on that one. Oh, y'all got so quiet on that one. When the devil come, because he's going to get after you and he's going to try to get you to fulfill, I'm talking about legitimate desire. It's legitimate to want to have some money, right? But you got to be sure that you don't get money in a illegitimate. Oh, y'all ain't talking to me. Y'all ain't getting the text. Man does not live by bread alone. And then after Brother Harris, after he couldn't get him to do that, and Jeremy read it, and I saw something in that text I hadn't seen all the time I've been reading it, that Jeremy brought out in his reading, Monier, that I saw. He said, in the next thing, then the devil taketh him to the pinnacle of the temple. And I thought about it. Wait a minute. He said the devil took him. Sometimes the devil will take you. You didn't intend to go to a casino, but Lord have mercy. It's rough, Fred. I ain't see it come. Brother White, I don't know where it come from. He taketh him to the pinnacle of the temple. And he said, watch this. And he tries to get you on an ego trip. Get you on an ego trip. He said, cast yourself down. The angels, I mean, it would have been spectacular, Angela, to see him coming down off the pinnacle of the temple and the angels of God swoop down and save him from death. I'm saying to you, when the devil gets you on an ego trip, got you jumping down and jumping in places you know you shouldn't be jumping in, refer to your text message and tell him it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord. Now watch this, watch this. The Bible does say prove him and test him, but don't tempt him. Know the difference? What's the difference? When you prove him and test him, you are testing him for his faithfulness. When you tempt him, you're doing something foolish and want him to bail you out. And then finally, if the devil, Brother Jeremy, then it says after he took him to the pinnacle of the temple, and then it says he taketh him to a high mountain apart. He took him to a high mountain apart. Watch this. Showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Now watch this. When the devil tries to take you to a mountain and show you all the kingdoms of the world, and he's trying to get you either to worship the wrong thing or not worship the way you wanna, rather the way you should. That's what I meant to say. Not the way you want, the way you should. And when he tries to, listen, when the devil tries to affect your commitment to worship God every first day of the week, he told Christ, if you, Brother Ryan, he told Christ, if you fall down and worship me, I will give you all the kingdom of the world. Now you ask yourself a question, what do you gain by missing worship? What do you gain by attending worship? So the devil challenges your commitment to be in the house of God every first day of the week when you can, to worship God in spirit and in truth. And he's trying to challenge that commitment. Refer to your text message. And your text message say, thou shall worship the Lord thy God. Sister Johnson, and him only, Sister Carolyn, shalt thy serve. That's your text message. Let me leave you with this, and I'm going to say good morning to you. Final idea. It's a great idea that you live. How many can agree this morning that it's really a good idea, even a great idea, that I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? Is that a good idea? How many would agree that it is a good idea for me to allow the word of Christ to dwell in me richly? That's what the text message says. Now watch this. I've got to understand that my best ideas don't come from me. My best ideas come from the word. Why? Well, Brother Moss, why do you say that? Here's why I say it. Because Jeremiah said, oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own step. We live in a world of guided missiles, but misguided men. Amen. Men can construct skyscrapers that kiss the sky. Men can invent speed boats that outswim the dolphin. Men can invent motor cars that can outrun an antelope, but he still doesn't have the inner guidance system. He needs to live his best life. He needs to refer to the text message. And God, I told y'all, a text is nothing but something that's written down, printed, typed. And this is a text. This is a text. And it's a text from the Creator. Aren't you glad? Sister Claudia, the Creator didn't leave us in the dark. Because it shines like a lamp unto my feet and a light. How many can use some light? A light across the dark paths of life. His word is living and is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. His word liveth and abides forever, Sister Johnson. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word, the text message of God, endures forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. His text message never comes back to him void. As the rain and the snow cometh down from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth that it may bud and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. God was concerned about the quality of my thoughts. That's why he sent me a text message, Sister Johnson. God was concerned about the direction of my life. And that's why he sent me a text message. God was concerned that I live the best life I can live, Angie. That's why he sent me a text message. Is that all right? You know the reason I knew my dear brother, Brother Rutledge, was sick this morning? He sent me a text and told me he couldn't make it today. And so when I got the text, I was informed as to his state. Well, if you get the text, it'll tell you what your real state is all about. Is that all right? And how many can say this morning, I'm thankful that I got this text message? And how many, and whenever you open the Bible, whether it's on your phone or on your portable electronic device, Ron Taylor, you can open up God's text message. And Jesus lived by God's text message because he knew the word of God was living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. He know God's word will never return unto him. But aren't you glad God sent a text message? Amen. Because when I think about the text message, Ron, I remember John. He said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same were with God in the beginning. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Brother Ryan, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But then it said, and the word, the text, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Is that all right? Somebody said, Sam White, when the word came, heaven hung out its brightest star in the Bethlehem sky, where they could know where the baby laid. Is that all right? When the word came, the grand conductor of life's greatest symphony raised his majestic baton and caused the angels to sing glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. When the word came, the Holy Spirit enlisted the service of a dove at the baptismal service in the Jordan River. Is that all right? When the word came, Jesus opened up a Captain D on a grassy hillside. Is that all right? When the word came, angry waves was rocked to sleep upon the bosom of the deep. When the word came, our ankles, or rather chains, fell from the ankles, the bleeding ankles of men. And childhood and womanhood went to another level. Is that all right? When the word came, the morning stars were singing together and all the sons of God were shouting for joy. Is that all right? When the word came, a dead man got about his grave, never to die no more. When the word came, the sun draped itself in sackcloth and the moon had a celestial hiccup. Is that all right? Oh, when the word came, the morning star was shouting. It's something about that word. When the word came, somebody said, I'm glad the word came. And the word came because, Brother Harris, because the word came, I know what to do to be saved. Because the word came, I know what to do to strengthen myself. When the word came, I know what to do when I'm lonely, Sabrina. When the word came, I know when I feel depressed. When the word came, I just open the text message and see where he said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. When I need inspiration, Rachel, I open my text message and it said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, the word, ain't the word something else? They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and do they run, not be weary. They will walk and not faint. When the word came, when I need strength, I can say, I can. I can do what? All things through Christ. I say, you open up your text message. And when the word came, it told me about my priority. Seek ye first. First in my life. First of all. First in your life is the Lord. Is that right? Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So in your mind, let God want to do some writing in your mind. He said, I want to write in your heart. He said, I'm going to put my law in your mind and I'm going to write it. That's a text. This is a text. Amen. My daughter texted me and told me she had been on her job 6 years. I text back with her, you go, girl. Amen. Because, Maddie, girl, I can text, praise God. I can text on this smartphone, but guess what, y'all? This better than this. Huh? I open this text every day. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Every day I open this text. Yeah, I check my phone every day. So say, Anderson, one of the first things I do when I wake up is check that phone. How many can say amen to that? Y'all might well go and tell on yourself. Tell the truth this morning. Amen. But don't you let this replace this. Unless, of course, you got this on this. Y'all feeling me on this? Is that all right? Stand on your feet. That's the message, beloved. Stand on your feet. That's the message. If you need a text on how to be saved, because, brother, we read in the text, he told Timothy, from a child, you've known the scriptures, writings. Graphe, writings. You've known the writings which are able to make you wise about salvation. Well, preacher, how do I get saved? Here's how you get saved. I got the text. You hear the gospel. Romans 10:17. You believe it. John 3:16. You repent of your sins. Acts 17:30. You confess. Romans 10:9-10. And then you immersed in water for the remission of your sin. That's the text. And you receive the promise. The gospel has facts to be believed. Christ died for your sin. He was buried. He rose again the third day, never to die again. If you can believe that and repent of your sin and confess his glorious name and be immersed in by his authority, not mine, the Lord say, be baptized. It's by his authority. And then the Lord himself is going to text. He's going to write your name. That's a text. He's going to write your name down in a book called the Book of Life. Now, you may be on Facebook, but you better get in the Lamb's book. Amen. I got a Facebook account. LinkedIn, too. Come on, y'all. I'm trying to be high tech, Russ, brother. I say I'm trying to be. I ain't there yet, but I'm getting there. But I'm more concerned about being in the Lamb's book. And then if you are a child of God and you're not living right, you're not living righteously, I got some good news for you. RCP. What's that? Repent, confess, and pray, and that will restore you. That's the text. Amen? Isn't that a wonderful thing? I hope with all your technical savvy, you will look at this book in a totally modern way. Amen. And Father, I want to thank you for sending us your text message. Because all the text is something that's written down, typed, or printed. You can do it electronically or you can do it by hand. But it's still a text. Amen? Can you respond to his invitation? Will you open his text mail? Text message. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Why don't you hear my humble cry? You know why on earth dost thou art called? Oh, do not pass.